This message is given in the name of Jesus, the Lamb of God, pure and holy. Amen. Well, as I mentioned earlier tonight, I continue my sermon series entitled Lamb of God, Pure and Holy. That theme is taken from the title of our sermon hymn with the same name. In fact, this hymn uses various words to describe Jesus. For example, our sermon hymn says that Jesus is ever patient and lowly. Now, last week we learned that Jesus is the patient, suffering Lamb of God. We discovered that because Jesus suffered for us, we now have comfort and hope when we suffer for whatever reason. However, tonight we will focus on the word lowly. Once again, we will find out that Jesus' lowliness is not merely an example for us to follow. More than that, Jesus' lowliness is a gift to us and the foundation of our salvation. You see, if Jesus were merely our example and nothing more than that, well, we'd all be in big trouble. I mean, think about it. We're not very lowly people. In fact, lowliness seems to be in short supply in our culture today. Several recent generations have grown up with the deluded idea that the cardinal sin is not pride, but low self-esteem. I mean, God forbid that anyone have low self-esteem. Therefore, we've learned very well how to esteem ourselves. For example, when we coddle children to the point that they actually come to believe that they are the center of the universe, it should come as no surprise that they grow up to be self-centered adults. Sadly, our culture is populated by many people who pay no attention to the needs of others, much less to the will of God. They worship at the shrine of the unholy Trinity. Me, myself, and I. However, don't think that this is a problem only for other people out there, because even we Christians struggle with a lack of lowliness. Think about it. You and I are daily bombarded with a steady stream of messages that tell us that we have an inherent right to be in control, that things should be just the way we want them to be. We Christians simply can't walk away from such seductive slogans without being affected by them, especially when you consider that these evil messages are extremely popular with our sinful nature. We want to think that we're good people who deserve to have it our way. But in contrast, along with kindness and meekness, the Bible lists lowliness among the Christian virtues. Yet in many circles today, any one of these virtues, whether it be kindness or meekness or lowliness, many in our culture would consider these to be signs of being weak. Some would say lowliness is for wimps. But God has a different word for us. You see, when you place yourself ahead of God and ahead of other people, well, the Bible calls that self-centered sin. Simply put, when you do that, you've made yourself into an idol. When you focus on yourself, you're worshiping yourself. In contrast, Jesus tells us, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That is God's holy will for us, and God's will still holds true today. In fact, in Philippians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul writes, do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Unfortunately, all too often, that is not the way it is among us. When it comes to loneliness, I'm afraid we're sadly lacking. Instead of counting others more significant than ourselves, it's often just the other way around. We consider ourselves the center of the universe. We consider ourselves the most important of all. Now, when Paul writes, "Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus," we are struck immediately by two things. First, the sad fact is that our sinful attitude is not very Christ-like when it comes to lowliness. But here's the second thing we must see. What we do not have in ourselves, we are given by faith in Jesus. The lowly attitude of Jesus is one of the gifts that He gives to those who trust in Him for forgiveness and new life. So as we watch Jesus throughout this Lenten season, suffering the consequences of our sin, we are struck again by His deep and profound lowliness. Think of it. Jesus never once complained of injustice, nor did He ever take revenge upon His enemies. In fact, listen to what the prophet Isaiah wrote about Him. Isaiah said about Jesus, "Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and as a sheep before the shearers is silent, so He did not open His mouth." He could have opened His mouth and destroyed His enemies with one word, but instead He remained silent. But please understand this. Jesus' lowliness is not weakness. Jesus' lowliness is strength. Jesus once said, "No man takes my life from me, but I lay it down of my own accord." You see, Jesus was not a helpless victim in His suffering and death. Jesus remained in charge the entire time. Of course, it seemed as though He was defeated that day when they whipped Him nearly senseless and then nailed Him to a cross to die, a beaten, bloody pulp of a man. And yet, Jesus remained God throughout His torment. Now, the reason that He allowed Himself to suffer and die was that this was the necessary price He needed to pay to save us from our sins against Him. In fact, the Apostle Paul describes this miracle of grace in our reading from Philippians, where he writes, "Being in very nature God, He did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made Himself nothing." Did you hear that? Jesus was equal with God. He is the eternal Son of God, one God with the Father and the Holy Spirit. Nevertheless, when the time came for Jesus to ransom us sinners from eternal hell, Jesus displayed pure lowliness, and He took the nature of a servant. Even though Jesus was and is God in human flesh, He did not use His power to save Himself. Instead, Jesus is lowliness incarnate. Now, Paul continues with these words. He says, "And being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross." Just think of it. Jesus willingly suffered one of the most horrible deaths ever invented. But His physical suffering was not the worst of it. In fact, last Wednesday we learned from our reading in 1 Peter that Jesus bore our sins in His body. In other words, Jesus took our sin and guilt upon Himself and suffered God's wrath in our place. Jesus became all the enemies of God rolled into one, and He was damned by His own Father in our place. Imagine the spiritual agony that Jesus suffered. In fact, the lowest point in the humiliation of Jesus was this. He willingly placed Himself under the judgment of God when He died on the cross for us sinners. But never forget that Jesus was in control the whole time. Remember what Paul wrote? He wrote that Jesus humbled himself. That means the Son of God deliberately and freely chose to be lowly for us sinners. He gave his life willingly to save his enemies. Now that's lowliness. In fact, you will never find a greater lowliness than the lowliness displayed by our Lord Jesus. Is there anyone here who would go to such great lengths to save one of your own enemies? Someone who had sinned against you? If you know your own heart as I know mine, you will know that the answer would be no. In fact, as sinners, we are often anything but lowly. Not only are we not able to love our enemies as perfectly as Jesus has loved us, but even worse, we often fail to love those who are closest to us. Because of our sinful pride and selfishness, those who are nearest and dearest to us often become the objects of our sinful words and actions. Instead of serving others in lowliness, we often manipulate others and use them to meet our needs. I'm afraid we're all guilty of doing this from time to time. I think of my wife, I think of my children, I should love them, but I'd be lying to you if I said that I love them perfectly. In fact, sometimes I'm just plain selfish. It's not a pretty picture. But that's exactly why we need Jesus. We need the lowly Lamb of God. The message of the lowly Lamb of God gives us comfort and hope. We need that because we sinners fall short of the lowliness that God requires of His people. Our Lord Jesus walked the lowly road to the cross to remove the guilt and hurt that you and I have caused by our sinful selfishness. The lowly death that Jesus died was in our place of judgment, and because of that lowly sacrifice, the power of sin is broken, and we can come to God without fear, knowing that He will forgive us and accept us for Jesus' sake. Just think of it. The miserable record of our sin has been wiped out by the shed blood of the lowly Lamb of God. Now, as we focus on Jesus and His lowly sacrifice for us, our hearts will begin to change. You see, when God baptized us, we were joined to Christ's death and resurrection so that we could live a new life. The love of the lowly Lamb of God gives us new hearts of lowliness so that we begin to think and live like Jesus. You see, in holy baptism, we Christians have received the lowliness of Jesus as a gift. That's why the Apostle Paul can write these words. He says, "Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus." Now, what do those words mean for you? Simply put, because Jesus is first and foremost your lowly Savior, He is now also your lowly example. In other words, now that your sins are forgiven by His lowly sacrifice, you are now free to be like Jesus and live a life of lowliness before God and others. So keep your focus on Jesus and His lowly sacrifice, and you will find yourself wanting to serve others in loving lowliness. In closing, there's one other thing I want you to take with you tonight. Understand this. Even though Jesus died a lowly death on the cross in order to save us, He now reigns in power and glory at His Father's right hand. Oh, we can't see this victorious reign of Christ with our eyes, but we have faith in God's word that Jesus reigns nevertheless. As Paul said, God exalted Him to the highest place and gave Him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. See, one day Jesus will return, but he will not return in lowliness. He will return in power and glory. Those who embraced their sin and rejected Jesus' lowly sacrifice, they will have to face the wrath of the Lamb of God. For example, in Revelation chapter 6, the Apostle John writes these words about what unbelievers will experience on the day of judgment. Listen to this. They call to the mountains and the rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who can stand?" Indeed, who can stand before the Almighty Lamb of God on the final day? The answer is the lowly. Those who humble themselves and cling to Jesus. You have nothing to fear when Jesus returns in power and glory. If you confess your sins and trust in Jesus now, you can look forward to the final day, because on the final day, Jesus will still be a lowly Lamb of God for you. Even though Jesus will return in power and glory, he will continue to be lowly for those who trusted in him as their Lord and Savior. In fact, we will bask in his lowly love for all eternity, and with glorified bodies we will serve him forever in righteousness and holiness. With that said, I'd like to end this sermon with Martin Luther's explanation of the second section of the Apostles' Creed. As you know, the second section of the Apostles' Creed speaks about the lowly Lamb of God and the eternal salvation that he won for us. So listen now to Martin Luther's explanation of this part of the Creed. "I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned creature, purchased and won me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood, and with his innocent suffering and death, that I may be his own, and live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, even as he is risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity. This is most certainly true. Amen." Now may the peace of God that passes all our understanding guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our lowly Lamb.